Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
I am so excited to share with you guys tonight. I've not been up here since I was doing Romans, but I had this message on my heart at the end of Romans, and I've been thinking about it and praying about it and listening to different parts of it and putting lots of things together, and I'm really excited about tonight. I think there's going to be a lot of truth and a lot of healing that comes from tonight. I don't know if you've looked around lately outside of your job and your immediate family, but our culture today in America is torn. It's torn in two, and people have entrenched themselves in what they believe is truth. They're stuck on it. And with social media today, people get on and they say whatever they want, whenever they want, and everybody on social media is hearing and reacting to it. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I am for freedom of speech, I am for freedom of assembly, all those things like that. But as Christians, we're governed by more than just the Bill of Rights. We are. And there are a lot of complaints today about judgment, specifically from the church. A lot of complaints. And people, it's become something that you hear all the time where somebody's asking, well, don't judge me, or are you judging me? Why is that a big deal? And there are a lot of very hurt people today that have been torn down because people have passed judgment on them. And I don't want to make light of what they've gone through. But with social media, it's really easy for people to make snap judgments today, isn't it? I've been guilty of this. You've been guilty of this. You see something. I have one very vivid memory in my mind. I did a overnight, this is going to sound crazy. I did an overnight drive to Colorado for a ski trip over the weekend. We drove through the middle of the night from Hot Springs to just west of Denver, and got there at like 9 a.m. in the morning and got out of the vehicle and bought our lift tickets and got our skis out and went skiing, like after driving 16 hours overnight. Crazy trip, and I never did anything like that again. It's not the easiest thing. But on the way up there, I was riding in the vehicle with a friend of mine from the church in Hot Springs, and we pulled in at a gas station somewhere, and I saw a young couple, maybe late teens, early 20s, and the girl was wearing real fuzzy pajama bottoms and kind of a skimpy shirt, and the guy was wearing a cowboy hat and random stuff. And I was like, oh my word. And immediately out of my mouth, I passed judgment on that. Look at them, that they're doing this so-and-so and this such-and-such. And I don't know if I was right or not, but that was immediately what came out of my mouth next to this other guy who's sitting in the car waiting for the girl that had gone inside to come back out. And he's like, how do you even know that? How do you even know what you just said is true? And he was just livid. And I was like, well, that's a pretty good question. How do I know that? Everybody's got their own tendencies. I don't know if you know that or not, but everybody makes snap judgments in different areas. Places where we feel like we're an expert in. Social media is a big place where you find it. People get on there and they just vent online. I think that people talk online, vent online, because it's easier than talking to the Lord. It's easier than talking to somebody. When it's impersonal and you can just throw it out there and if there are any repercussions, they don't know your name, they don't really have any insight into the real situation, you can stay on your high horse. As Christians, we're supposed to take our frustrations to the Lord. Psalm shows that over and over again. I don't know if any of you do this, but if I'm ever in a place where I'm unfamiliar with the territory, I'm looking for a restaurant to go to, I read reviews. Any review readers out there for restaurants or for services, or if I want to get my car worked on? The majority of reviews that you will find are either 5 stars or 1 star. I don't know if you've noticed that before. Let me give you an example. 5-star reviews. I love this place, all caps with the love, you know. It's the best place in the whole world. Smiley face, hugs, winky face. That's it, 5 stars. Woo! It told you nothing about any of it, but they are just, yeah. And then a 1-star review, all caps the whole way. I hate this place. It's the worst place ever. Terrible service, on and on and on, all caps. Anybody seen things like this? Did you know you can click on that person's name and see all of the reviews that that person has done? It's amazing. What you'll find is those people that have the 5-star reviews, they have a hard time not finding a place they don't like. And those people who have the 1-star reviews, they have a hard time finding a place that meets any kind of requirements that they have. They're like, there's just nothing. Some people can't be pleased. And some people can't be critical about much of anything. They can't find anything wrong. One of my favorite verses to live by, I don't quote this very often, but I think of it very often, is Proverbs 18:17. It says, the first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. It works quite nicely with reviews. If you can find the 4 stars or the 3 stars or the 2 stars, usually, or like if you buy a product at Amazon, they give it 1 star because the package was busted during delivery. That's not the product. That's whoever was delivering it. I don't like FedEx. I don't like the U.S. Postal Service. That's not helpful. But that verse, it really puts things in perspective. As parents, it's a good verse to live by. It's a good one, right, for parents? You've been there. One child runs in the door to tell on the other. And if you're inexperienced, if you're a young parent, you immediately react to what you heard. But for those of us with a little more experience, you realize that the one child came in first because the other child was limping in because the first child had beat the second child up and they couldn't get there in time before the first child could come spin the case for why they had been wronged. There are 2 sides to every story. And tonight, I want to talk about love and justice. Love and justice. And I want to look at this from multiple angles. I want to examine it, and I want to cross-examine it. Unfortunately, smartphones have changed us into a headline-only snapshot people. You read the headline, and Trump is awesome, and this has happened, or Trump did this. Or we read the headline, we don't go any further. This bad thing happened. This person was completely wrong. Let me give you a few observations, and I want you to really think about these. There are some people in this world that are justice, truth, judgment people. They tend towards that. You can think of people, but don't point at them, okay? That's their tendency. And there are other people who are love and mercy and forgiving people. Both of them are missing something. Some people who say they love justice are actually not loving justice at all. What they really love is revenge. You see this anytime. I don't know if any of you ever watch any movies where the bad guy finally gets caught. The bad guy finally gets caught and something, most people, if they're being honest with where they're at in their emotions, they're not looking for that bad guy to get the handcuffs slapped on him and him to be hauled off to prison and taken to before court. If it's a really bad guy, what you want is you want to see that guy die. I mean, he just killed however many people he just killed, and in our minds, we have a hard time between justice and revenge. Some people say they're love people, and they're all about mercy and their love. And what the truth really is that they just don't like confrontation. It's not really love, it's just they're non-confrontational. They don't want to say anything to hurt anybody under any circumstances. Some people believe God is a God of truth. Some people believe God is a God of love only. Some people believe God is a God of light. But some of you might be able to tell from my statements that I tend to be on the judging side. But here's what's true in all of this. Everyone is their own worst critic. Everyone is. If we're honest, we always give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. And we seldom ever offer that same courtesy to anyone else. Well, I know the context of what I was trying to say and my intent, and I've got it. The truth is that the Bible reveals truth to us. And if we want to be effective in this world, in our family, then we have to develop a full, deep, well-rounded view of what love and justice are. Many people today have a problem with the God they think is in the Old Testament. The wrong idea of who God is in the Old Testament. It's skewed. They see him as petty, as vindictive, as wrathful, as completely wrong in everything. The truth is they're only seeing part. There are churches today that believe that the Old Testament doesn't matter and they don't even bother reading it. New Testament did away with the Old Testament. Now, I'll admit that there are some difficult passages in the Old Testament that take some time and some effort and some study to put them into context. But the truth is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as Christians, we have to be ready to answer this culture today that is torn into thinking that it's all one way or it's all another way. We've got to have the right perspective on all of this. I want us to be like the Bereans in Acts 17:11, where it says the people of Berea searched the scriptures day after day to see if what Paul and Silas said was true. The God in the Old Testament is the same as the God in the New Testament. There are a lot of people who have a hard time with that because they've got a warped view of God. And I understand why. When you read or you hear that God is your heavenly father and you were raised with an abusive dad, you're going to have a hard time with God being your heavenly father. It's going to skew everything. I don't even know what that looks like. And if you hear that God is love and you were raised with parents who gave you everything that you ever wanted and never required anything of you, you're going to have a skewed view of what love is. You're going to think that God is more like some kind of candy machine where if you do the right things, you'll get what you want out of it if you can just manipulate him well enough. We have trouble with a just God because this world's justice is twisted. I've heard it said that the reason we have trouble with justice is not because we haven't spent enough time thinking about judgment, but because we haven't spent enough time thinking about love. If you're taking notes tonight, you'll want to write this down. True love doesn't exist in the absence of judgment. True love only exists in the presence of it. True love doesn't exist in the absence of judgment. True love only exists in the presence of it. Now think about this. If you dared me to go up to a random person in the store and say, I love you, what would that do to the person? First of all, I wouldn't take the dare because that's not my personality. But if I were to go do that, or if we dared Chapman to go do something and he, what would that do in the person? It would mean nothing to hear I love you from somebody who doesn't know you. Why? There's no depth of knowledge of that person. The words I love you are only truly meaningful when that person truly knows you, when they have a knowledge of everything about you. And most people are so desperate for love that they go around pretending to be what they think people will want them to be. And if they're successful at it, the people didn't really fall in love with them, they fell in love with their image of who they were. If no one really knows you, if no one really knows your shortcomings, that you have a slight lisp, that you struggle with math, that you have some funny quirks, if no one really knows your real desires or your fears or your victories from the past, if no one really knows the truth about you, then you are a very lonely person. True love only exists in the presence of judgment. And let me tell you what I mean. When you know something about someone, you're forced to pass judgment on what you know. Yeah. Nobody likes being vulnerable. If they knew the reality of who you are, then you are placing them at a point as I'm opening myself up to them. They're going to decide whether or not they like me, decide whether or not they want to spend time with me. I'll never forget a moment in high school where we were invited to bring our favorite song into psychology class. Public high school psychology class. We were invited to bring our favorite song. I was still very much introverted at this time. And My favorite genre of music at the time was Christian punk rock. So I'm just going to let your mind imagine the reactions that I got from a bunch of public school kids in psychology class to me listening to something that was Christian and punk rock together. I felt judged. I opened myself up to something that I felt was really a part of who I was, and I got the same invitation the next time for favorite song in a creative writing class the next year. I don't know if they talked together, the two teachers or something, but I changed the song and tried to pick something that I thought people would like as opposed to what was really deeply meaningful to me. Nobody likes to open up. Everybody likes to present the best version of themselves. But the truth is, everybody is alone that's doing those things. When you really find somebody that knows who you are, the struggles you've been with, the best bonds, the best connections that you read about are connections where people fought in a war together, where people who have gone through marriage for 40 years together and had children, lost children, had jobs, lost jobs, whatever, people who really know each other. And everybody's looking for that kind of depth of love, but nobody's willing to be vulnerable about it. The truth is that I know they passed judgment that day, but I learned something from it. And the truth is, we all pass judgment all the time. If you're a good parent, you pass judgment on your children. Hebrews 12:7 says, "Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father?" Now, we've heard about that today. But the idea is that person is not loved. That person is not taken care of. To discipline, there must be a judgment. Now, I'm not speaking about parenting tonight, but there are a lot of good pointers in that chapter that you could go into. A good parent sets a standard, sets the consequences, communicates them, and then passes judgment. We have millions of people in prison today that are only there because they never learned to be disciplined. We all pass judgment, though. Even if we're not parents, what kind of food do you like? What's your favorite food? You have a judgment about that. Are you? I'm looking back here in the middle here. Do you like? Are you okay with dipping things in sauce? Right, Case? Are sauces okay? No sauces. No sauces. What's your favorite food? What show do you want to watch? What book do you want to read? We don't read books anymore. Okay. Who are you going to hire to watch your children? You pass a judgment. You make a decision. Who are you going to have fix your car? Hopefully you're thinking about these things. Who do you want to come to your birthday? Who do you want to talk to? When are you going to do your homework? Are you going to do your homework? And immediately, when I asked these questions in my mind, when I put it together, I immediately heard people saying, "Well, who are you to judge what kind of food I eat? Who are you to judge when I do my homework? Who are you to judge fill in the blank?" Everybody makes a judgment. And everybody's fine with themselves making judgments, but nobody's fine with anybody else making judgments. Are you judging me? Yes. Yes. If you ever get asked that, yes. Yes, I am. A judgment is nothing more than a decision. It's a choice. It's, I decide this about this. I might be wrong, I might be right, we'll find out, but I've got to make a judgment. And when you delay decision, you're making the judgment that your decision doesn't matter, and you're going to leave that to somebody else. This world wants to take away our decisions in the name of inclusion. Nobody's allowed to pass any judgment on anybody else. That's our judgment. Justice is something that man really doesn't understand very well. Everyone judges everything, though. And by not talking about our judgments, all we're doing is making sure that people make really poor ones. We're just going to make it in our head and see what happens. I want to go back to the idea of the judgment of God in the Old Testament. and that he is somehow different or not the same as the God in the New Testament. Anybody read this story of Jonah? The historic story of Jonah. Good story. Sad story. If you actually read it all the way through, God appears, says, Jonah, go to the people in Nineveh, who are terribly wicked people. Terribly wicked people. And go tell them if they don't repent and change, that I'm going to wipe them out. And what does Jonah do? He gets up and he goes the opposite direction. He runs off the opposite direction, gets in a boat, tries to go somewhere. God stops him with a storm. Everybody's freaking out. Gets thrown overboard, which he tells them to do because he knows what's going on. Fish swallows him, swims him over to the shore near Nineveh, spits him out, pukes him up onto the beach. And then he goes to Nineveh and he tells everybody, repent, or God's going to pour out his wrath on you. And what happens? They repent. They repent and it changes. And Jonah's reaction in chapter 4, verse 2 is the most ridiculous but telling reaction that there is. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That's why I ran away to Tarshish. From the very beginning, when I got up and got on that boat and went the opposite direction, I ran away because I knew when I went and told them about this that they would repent. I knew you were a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Which testament are we in right now, old or new? Jonah knows who God is. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. This is the same God. But Jonah was one of those judging people. He saw the wickedness and it did something on the inside of him. It was like, that is not right. The way they're living is not right. They deserve this. And if I go tell them, then it's never going to happen. And he's mad. And he goes away just to watch on the hillside to see if God's still going to smite him. And he's waiting. And he's mad. And he's not eating. And God brings a few things to help him out. But that book ends very sad. Because a plant comes up and covers him and keeps him out of the sun. And then it dies and withers away. He's like, you're sad about this plant, but you're not sad about these people. What's wrong with you? The end. Justice people, judging people. There's got to be some balance in our lives. There's got to be another side looked at there. But at the same time, in this issue of is God the same God in both testaments? Absolutely. It's hard to find a different God in both of them. The only way you can find it is if you're not reading your Bible. If you're reading other people's comments and repeating what you've heard, you'll find it every time. That's a schizophrenic God. That God doesn't know at all what he's talking about. He's this side and he's this side. Well, the God of the New Testament, okay? Is that somehow a different God than the God of the Old Testament? Yeah, haven't you heard? No. You can overcome a lot of your problems in life, a lot of them, by simply reading your Bible. It'll clear up a lot of things. The secular culture has passed judgment on God. They don't want him in their life. But their judgment is skewed. They've passed judgment on the Bible. They don't want it in their schools. But if we're not growing in our knowledge of the word, what are we growing in? If we're not growing in our relationship with the Lord, what are we growing in? Well, I'm growing in the relationship with that guy or that girl or my kids or my parents, my wife, my husband. All those are good, but they can't be first. If we're going to have a right attitude, a right mindset towards love and justice, we've got to line up with the one who is fully and completely both at the same time. God is just. And God is merciful. He is love at the same time. If we're not increasing in our faith and our knowledge of God, what are we increasing in? I've got 7 questions to ask before you pass judgment on anything. Number 1, what does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about this? Now, I say the Bible as opposed to what does my favorite scripture say about this? What is my cherry-picked, ready to go, I've heard other people say it, verse say? What does the Bible say in context of everything? Before we pass judgment, what does the Bible say? As Christians, that's our standard, that's our foundation. There are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who don't use the Bible as their standard. They use people as their standard. Psalm 118:8 says, it's better to put your trust in God than it is to put your trust in men. As Christians, we have to stand on the Word of God. Well, it doesn't talk about this. You might read a little more. You might ask somebody who's read more than you, where should I be reading? What does the Bible say about this? Number 2, similar but not the same. What does the Holy Spirit say about this? You know, you can talk to the Lord and he can answer you. You can talk to the Lord and he can guide your thoughts. Before you pass judgment on someone, before you write them off in your life, we're in November here. Before you decide not to invite Uncle So-and-so or Aunt So-and-so to Thanksgiving, talk to the Lord before passing judgment. Could this be an opportunity? Might the timing be right this year to get through to him with the gospel? Might the timing this year be an opportunity for you again? What does the Bible say? It may say, no, this is absolutely not. But before we pass judgment, we need to ask ourselves some good questions. Number 3. What will this produce in others? What will this produce in others? I purposely put this one first because it's very hard to think of others before ourselves. Usually when we pass judgment, we're trying to do what's best for me and my family. What will this do in the lives of other people around us? Number 4 is, what will this produce in me? If I decide to watch all the Star Wars movies before this last one comes out in one weekend, what will that produce in me? If I decide to wait until the last minute to cram for my exam, what will this produce in me? If I decide to skip Wednesday night service, if I decide to skip reading my Bible, what will this produce in me? Number 5. Am I acting or reacting? Am I acting or reacting? A lot of issues and a lot of misunderstandings could be cleared up if we just ask that simple question. Just pause for a second and say, okay, I don't need to react right now. I don't need to react. I need to think. I need to get my head clear. And I need to purposefully say what needs to be said in this moment. Reacting is much easier, though. Reacting so much easier. Number 6. Am I just repeating what I've heard other people say? I'm going to make that same judgment that I heard somebody else say. What did it produce in their lives? Going back to that other one. When they made the same judgment. It's the worst thing in the world to take marriage advice for somebody that's been divorced 4 times. Unless they're telling you what not to do, I don't think you should be listening to them. What did this produce in their life? Am I just listening to what other people are saying? Number 7. Have I made myself accountable to anyone? With this judgment, with this thing that I want to do, with this decision I want to make, have I set myself up accountable to anyone for the decision I'm going to make? Now, this doesn't have to be for like what cereal you're going to eat in the morning. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are some big decisions in life. And if you don't set yourself up as accountable to anybody, you're going to get off down a road that you don't even know how you got there. Now, this idea of love and justice is just started here. And I'm going to finish it up this next week to get off into more of the love side of it. But before we end tonight, I want to end with this challenge. I want to challenge you this week to really evaluate yourself and where you're at in your judgment of other people. For some of you, you need to pass more judgment on some issues in your life. You need to actually take responsibility of your kids. You need to take responsibility for yourself, for your coworkers, whatever. And I'm trying not to talk down. I hope that I'm not, but I don't have trouble on this side, so I can talk. I can pass judgment really easily. On the other end, some of you are more like me and need to quit. You need to get some love in there. Really, what will that judgment do in other people's lives? Because the truth is that we are here to affect this culture. We are here to create the culture around us. God's church here on earth is to build his kingdom. And if we're going to build it, we're going to have to pass judgment. We're going to have to make decisions. The president gets a lot of flack because he makes decisions. The CEO of a company gets a lot of flack because they have to make decisions. The head of the household gets a lot of flack because they have to make decisions. The problem is that when we know all of those things, our tendency is to just avoid making decisions. And we can't do that. Love and justice, they both go hand in hand, and we've got to have both of them. You guys stay with me.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.